It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Via the magic of Microsoft Teams with Michael Kelly, and a lot to go over. There have been some really cool events on campus and some great events that, Michael, you have been a part of away from USF, and of course, a lot of action on the courts and fields and track and field that we want to get to and what's still to come. So let's start off with track, because Michael, I know you were looking at it and following it from afar, and this is not just some ordinary event. It's the Penn Relays. You might have a little bit of an idea of the history. I don't know if everybody does, but just to be a part of it is a cool thing. And to have three of your relay teams win events as the Bulls did, including one particularly exciting finish, edging out Houston by a thousandth of a second. Just another monumental weekend.
It was, and I'm so glad you mentioned it. I know we made a big deal of it on social media, and for those that aren't deep into track and field, I mean, I know the track and field enthusiasts out there, just everybody knows what the Penn Relays is in that regard. I mean, it's one of the oldest and most best attended events in all of track and field. I mean, it's been going on since 1895. It's historic. It takes place there at the University of Pennsylvania. It's just a huge, huge deal. And even though I wasn't involved, I was a little bit involved in cross country in high school, but never, a track enthusiast. But so many of my teammates and friends that were always talked about the Penn Relays, even where I was in D.C. And so then when jump ahead 20, 30 years where we were able to hire Eric Jenkins and his love for obviously relays and the history and the tradition of the Penn Relays. And, you know, when we hired him, he talked about how that was one of his many goals was to see if we could, bring home a trophy in the Penn Relays. And to have done it and accomplished it last year with our women's relay team was a major source of pride for him in the program. And then to go up there this year and to win three, as you mentioned, even to beat Houston, who's had won, I think, three of the last five in that event for historically. And but for us to basically sweep, I guess it was the 4x200, and to come back and win the 4x100 the next day, man, just so exciting about the trajectory. And I just know the pride that our staff and relay teams have in that event. And I just want US. I'm still giddy about it because I know how big a deal it is. I know how much it means to Eric. And when you see Eric happy, and again, he's a very optimistic guy, but when you see him truly, genuinely happy and prideful, you know something big has been accomplished in this journey with USF track and field. So great, great weekend for the Bulls as it relates to their time in Philadelphia. So kudos to Bulls Nation on that. Gotcha. And it's a really cool trophy too. Like if people want to go back and look at the tweets I put out and some of the stuff on LinkedIn and things of that nature, but they're these really unique trophy plaques that have been created that are just really iconic. Kind of have a unique design within it with Benjamin Franklin in there etched into it, since he is the founder of the University of Pennsylvania. But just a huge, giant, almost disc-looking plaque that now we're trying to figure out how to find room for four of them in Eric's office. We only have one in there right now. But I went in to see him yesterday to see the new installments. They said the airlines cooperated to get him down here yesterday, so that was good. I know he and the facility staff have a game plan for how to get them all in his office, so we're excited about that.
Got to mention Zaquan Lincoln, Jahlil Kroll, Shavoy Reed, Saminu Abdul-Rashid, 39.34 seconds. 39.35 seconds was Houston's situation, and they had to actually go to a photo finish to look at it. That's why you had the sort of delayed reaction, and so cool that it was able to be pulled off. And then, as you mentioned, the 4x2 sweep. And funny enough, this was a weekend where, for the season, 29th and 30th school records were broken, and that was in the other event. That was in Jacksonville. I mean, they're doing stuff all over the country.
Had to split our squad and have other folks focused in a major event in Jacksonville. So, yeah, you said 30 program records so far this year. Obviously, now we come home and rest a tad bit, train, and get ready for the conference meets next week or the week after next in San Antonio. And the 10th, 11th, and 12th, I think, is the dates of that. But looking forward to that and seeing if we can't get a couple conference titles.
Also, we'll find out on Wednesday where men's golf is going, and we found out last Wednesday that the women's golf team is going to be playing in North Carolina officially. Boy, you could just tell. They knew they were going to the NCAA tournament, which was a big comfort compared to some other teams that just missed out. And, of course, compared to the Bulls last year, they got in with what we found out was the last spot. But you could just see Erica Brennan has these ladies geared up. It's not just about getting in. They want to make it to that final level this year, the NCAA championships. Also want to mention, I know we've talked about her a lot, Melanie Green, and we can get into the Stampede of Champions, but she was voted as the best female athlete for the last year around the entire school, which is a great honor. But she was just, speaking of great honors, added to the Arnold Palmer Cup, which is basically the Ryder Cup for, what, college athletes, right? It's going to be, she's one of the 12 Americans on that team, and she was the golfer of the year. So we can't say enough good things about both of those teams.
Yeah, a lot for all of Bulls Nation to focus on with both golf programs, as we've been talking about in recent times. And you're right, can't wait to find out where the men are heading, and for the women to be heading to Bermuda Run, and just the accolades that have poured in. And as you mentioned, it just shows the trajectory. We've talked about it a lot, about where it's come under Erica Brennan's leadership, and steps along the way to get to where we are right now. And as you said, kind of being one of the last teams in last year, and then this year being firmly in, you know, really as a sixth seed in a regional. And as a reminder for everybody, if you perform to being one of the top five in each of the regional seeds, is when you progress to the final round of the NCAA championship. So really, really exciting. Obviously, the committee thinks that we're right on that threshold, and I know the ladies are excited to go out and perform to that level. So very, very exciting. Hey, our men's and women's golf teams have worked hard. They've earned the right to be confident, and we look forward to seeing how they perform next week.
And, of course, if you guys missed the show last week, we talked a lot about both golf teams with Jim Fee, former coach for the teams and former Bulls All-American and administrator and a big part of the NCAA tournament committee. So he's still busy getting all that ready for the Wednesday selection show for the men. Mentioned Stampede of Champions. I was able to watch that for just a little bit at the Yuengling Center on Monday night. Not only did it remind you of so many great things, I gotta say, it's just a cool event. You could see how much the student athletes appreciated it. It's like their award ceremony. It is their award ceremony, but it's also a big night out. Just so happens to be a night out at the Yuengling Center, which was decked out. So many people to compliment, so many special moments. But I do want to mention Riley Hunt, Sophia Chepnick, and Jaden Reed, because these were your three MCs, and they look like seasoned entertainment vets, so they don't just perform on the fields and the courts and the tracks.
That's right. Kudos to those three on the emceeing. That's a lot of pressure to carry basically an hour and a half show, and to do it in some cases for the first time. So it was fun, and I always appreciate them and inviting me and being a part of it, because it truly is about, it's produced by the student athletes. Every aspect of it is all done by the student athletes. There's no staff involvement outside of whatever help they ask us for, and obviously they have a budget to work with to do it through their student athlete assistance fund. But it's a fun event. The men and women of our program love getting setting the theme, identifying a way to get all decked out for the big occasion, and just seem to enjoy being with each other socially and celebrating a really, really good year. So enjoyed it. It was a great and again, even the awards themselves are voted on by the various players of the team. So it's truly by the student athletes for the student athletes, and it's a special, special night.
And it's also cool to see everybody decked out. We got some snazzy dressers, especially baseball, and also cool to sort of be hanging out in the peanut gallery, because the football team, you know, Jaden Reed had some pressure because those guys were making comments in a fun way, and I think he met their approval, which is big. We got some wisecrackers on that team, so it was fun to be a part of. And I got to ask you one other thing. You said they were involved with everything. Was that the food selection? Because it was a good food spread, and I had to sneak over and get some ham and cheese hot pockets because it had been a while.
Yes, they choose every aspect of the event.
Okay,
and it was good. You know, thinking back to what you said about Melanie a few moments ago, too, it's a little bit of trivia that I think most Bulls Nation probably knows, but it's interesting that she would be assigned to Bermuda Run, basically, in essence, not the home course per se, but basically the home course of at Wake Forest University. They're hosting that regional, and that's indeed where Arnold Palmer also attended. So you've got the linkage there. So
Wow.
hopefully we can find a statue or something of Arnie to, that Melanie can stand next to.
That's a good idea. Now, you've got a lot of decisions to make. You mentioned track and field. They'll be in San Antonio. I wouldn't mind being part of the travel party to North Carolina. I know our baseball team's going to be there this weekend, so there's a lot of Bulls all over the place. But non-Bull related, you were part of a big guy whose name is known very nationally, especially in the college football world, Bill Hancock. He has had such an instrumental part of before the playoff system and now the expansion of the playoff system. And I know you were hobnobbing with some other big names out there. Where was this held? And tell us more about Bill.
It was a special day. I mean, as we all know, Bill Hancock is retiring at the end of this fiscal year, basically, from the college football playoff. And he's had a 53-year history in college athletics. Started off with University of Oklahoma. He worked as a communications director at the old Big Eight Conference, progressed on to the NCAA tournament, where he basically was the point person for the NCAA tournament and building the Final Four, or being part of building the Final Four to what it was. I remember he told us in the speech his very first Final Four was when Magic and Bird played in 79.
Oh,
so that was a cool feature. And then he worked for the various commissioners and kind of keeping the BCS together after he left the NCAA. And then ultimately that led into the CFP. So it was nice because it was the CFP spring meetings. They're working very hard, obviously, on making the logistical adjustments to this year's 12-team format that we've talked about a lot, and that we're very excited and grateful that the that our conference, our group of conferences, has a chance to have an automatic berth in there for the highest-rated one. And so we're excited about that. And so they took advantage of those people, of the current leadership being together, but then had a retirement celebration in his honor, which included pretty much everyone that could make it from the selection committee, the CFP in the past, many current and former commissioners, and the like. So it was just really cool to see everyone that kind of played a role in bringing the CFP together, and then seeing the people, the current people that are putting it together, including the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey. You've got Tony Petitti from the Big Ten, Jim Phillips from the ACC, Brett Yormark from the Big 12. So
wow.
Knowing all the work that they're doing to keep this alive and make it even better with this new frontier is fun to see all of them. And then really to see a lot of the former selection committee members was really, really special. But for those that, again, we just owe Bill Hancock a lot of respect, a great career, a great friend to college basketball and college football. And just it was a special night to see some of my former co-workers, but mostly to honor Bill. And I'll just say this, one thing that I would also do, he is a great author. If people don't know this, he has a book called Riding with the Blue Moth.
Huh.
And if you haven't read it before, I encourage everybody to read it. And it's kind of a very touching book because, as you might know, one of his sons perished in the Oklahoma State crash. And the whole book is about dealing with that tragedy as a family. And then ultimately he and his son were planning to go bike across country together that upcoming summer. And so he carried on with that bike ride and kind of talks about his whole, almost in a journal kind of standpoint, of all the things that were going through his mind and a lot of things that the conversation he was kind of having with Will during that trip. So it's a very touching book, one I think everyone would enjoy. And I just want to kind of throw that out there and just know. But anyways, it was just a great week and I was honored to be there and saw former USFAD Mark Harlan out there. As you know, he's a member of the selection committee and he sends his regards to everybody in Bull Nation, and it was just a very, very nice affair.
Awesome. That's great to hear, Mark, as well. I did a podcast with that guy once. I won't compare. I think you're both really good. Another thing that's happening along with everything on the ball fields and courts is the, end of the school year. And I know that this is exams week, right? I mean, we tend to forget sometimes that there's other things going on in these people's lives, and there's a lot happening this week.
A ton. I mean, just from a academic services standpoint here for our athletic department, we had a great luncheon Thursday last week, I guess it was, or Tuesday, maybe it was Wednesday actually, and it was kind of our each semester we have a luncheon that we kind of honor the various student athletes of the month that are selected by our academic services team.
Yes.
Which is more of a well-rounded event, not only on performance and sport, but also in their classroom space. So that was a fun. There was some posted some things on LinkedIn and Instagram on that, which were really fun to kind of get ready for an academic theme of things. And then just yesterday, we were able to host our semester, annual semester, not annual, every semester we host a graduation breakfast to be able to honor the graduates that are going to walk this week. Mm. And there's 10 different ceremonies, 10 different commencement ceremonies coming up this week for USF. So give a little shout out to President Law. She gives 10 speeches to 10 different commencement ceremonies this weekend. So kudos to her. But obviously most of those will have USF Bulls, and they wear special student athlete stoles around their neck. And so she can identify those student athletes and give them a little horns up signal. And it's very, very special. So it is the reason for all of our seasons. It fulfills our mission, and just very proud of those young Bulls that are getting ready to graduate this week. And that event last yesterday, the graduation brunch, is something that's very special and great. At least it gives us a chance to, because everyone scatters around quickly.
Right.
Some are taking exams remotely, some are writing papers, some are traveling, but this is kind of the last chance to probably see them all together with their coaches and with me before they head out. So we're proud of them and wish them well in all their future endeavors.
That is one thing. I just love being able to encounter so many awesome individuals. And then, again, I'm sometimes get caught in looking. Like last weekend, I had 6 games between baseball and softball, and then think, oh, my gosh, this is the last time I'm going to see them at home and maybe in life. And you actually miss these people. I was glad when I saw that, for example, I remember the last game of the women's soccer season, Vivian Bissett, thinking, that's it for her now. She's actually signing with Denise Shilty Brown's pro soccer team, so she'll still be around. We really do love these people, not just for what they do as far as...
Yeah, let's take a quick moment for the Sun. I mean, how about that?
How about
we got
that?
Vivian Bissett, we got Jordy Listrow, both playing for Denise at the Sun. So I've got my season tickets for the Sun. I hope all the Bull Nation's getting out there as well. It should be fun. I'm excited about what they're doing.
Well, there were a lot of people at the baseball and softball complex. I'm going to wrap up with that in a minute. But talk about some of the individuals that we encounter. A lot of them, obviously, are international. I mean, half the soccer team, most of the tennis teams, and, of course, women's basketball, and that's just a couple of examples. But I know that a big topic, one of the major topics, if not the number one in college sports these days, centers around NIL. People might not realize that if you're an international athlete, you cannot take advantage of that whole thing. So can you give us an update? Has anything attempted to be done to try and change that?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we all know how important NILs become. And we've talked about before how the international students, you know, have issue because their educational visa wouldn't permit them to have jobs, and that kind of income would kind of throw off the ability of their, you know, the conditions of their visa to continue their studies. So obviously being an intercollegiate student athlete in the, you know, in the United States and playing college sports is obviously a special thing, and it's been hard to be able to find the right avenue to get that addressed. But it's not solved yet, but very pleased with a bipartisan effort that's going on with Senators Blumenthal and Murphy on the Democratic side and Ricketts and Capito on the Republican side that have really been trying to work with Department of Homeland Security to make the necessary adjustments to this, to recognize this as a special category. So some great follow-up, some great education that's been going on with that to try to get that resolved, because that would be, I mean, for the reason it's applicable obviously to us is, as you mentioned, of our 500 student athletes, about 140 of them are international, and to kind of not have at least them have the opportunity to start their business, to benefit from their name, image, and likeness is you know, tough for them, and certainly, you know, somewhat of a disadvantage for us to not allow them to be able to do that. So
true.
We're very hopeful that this bipartisan effort will help push that through. But, I just think it's really an interesting nuance of something that we have to get solved that's out of our control. But it's another way that hopefully the federal government can come and find a logical solution to this, because it would be, I certainly believe it's the right thing to do to find this define this adjustment to the visa for the special class of, you know, of students that are here in the United States to participate in college sports, as long as they obviously have to continue on their educational pursuits. It can't just be for other things, as we know, but this is a necessary adjustment that it would benefit our student athletes here at USF.
It wasn't on our loose show rundown. We kind of go off the cuff, but you mentioned the international. It brings up, I want to mention Byron Matos and Donovan Jennings from the football team. Byron actually went from playing and it just an interesting story in its own right, a little for the Bulls to going into this IPPP program with the NFL and getting a shot with the Miami Dolphins. And correct me if I'm wrong, but some of these international prospects were working out at our IPF, or am I wrong about that? Seems like there was always something going on.
They were. I mean, at our pro day, it was a unique thing that I know that Andrew Warsaw from our football department, along with Coach Golish, were very, involved with their contacts at the NFL to, help service some of the internationals that are on their international pathway program, as you mentioned, to work out and at least have their pro day elements here at USF that day. So it was very, very unique, and I'm sure it was interesting to see some of them reach their goal. And as you mentioned, Donovan had a chance to sign with the team this week, and then also, like you said, Byron Matos doing the same. It is a unique story. I still remember when he was a member of our basketball team and came to my office one day and just completely out of the blue and said, "Hey, I'd like to try football." And I'm like, "Well, you need to talk to then Coach Gregory, and you need to talk to Coach Scott at the time, and then see what's involved." I mean, obviously you're a very gifted athlete, and you're a big, you work out well, but you've never played. He said, "I've never played, never put on a uniform." And so even then, as you recall, some things were worked out to let him make some of that transition, and he was able to experiment with some things. But I did see him do some video, some interviews on ESPN and things last weekend, where he was admitting he didn't know how to put on his, that he didn't know how to get the uniform on or put the equipment on and stuff like that. So,
what are these shoulder pads? I don't need them.
I was able to run to him at that pro day, and he looked great, and I know it was even bigger than he was before, and hopefully he'll have a chance to showcase his skills. We certainly wish nothing but the best to Byron and to Donovan as they pursue. And I saw Mitch Wilcox sign a new deal with the Patriots, right. So a lot of unique NFL news happening for the Bulls.
Former field goal rim protector on special teams, now maybe an offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, and then Dono with the Green Bay Packers. Mentioned softball and baseball. Fantastic crowds turned out this whole weekend. It was alumni and, of course, the Cup for the Cure on the baseball side and on the softball side. It seems like there were a ton of youth groups there. It was the last chance to see them at home, and I think people really responded. Florida Atlantic, which is in first place, took 2 out of 3 games, but the Bulls head to San Antonio this week and then the conference tournament next week. First of all, I wanted to make sure everybody knew this because I didn't, and then I investigated it on the conference's website. For baseball, the bottom two teams don't make it to Clearwater. For softball, everybody will be going next week. Kind of changed the dynamic. It makes it more important to finish in the top two, all that kind of stuff. But also what I enjoyed with softball specifically was Senior Day. Where you had 7 get honored. It is kind of a game now to which are you going to honor, but everybody was appropriately chosen, and I loved our group. But whoever puts together the videos, I mean, sometimes a senior ceremony can turn into what you don't want, which is just here's their name, here's their stats. That's not what people come to school for. That's not what they're remembered for. And you had just very touching videos and quotes from teammates speaking about their individuals. So whoever puts those together, maybe you have a little insight on that. And then secondly, I know it's always emotional for you, whatever the team is, when the senior days come.
Yeah, I agree with you on the content. I mean, it was unique to see. I mean, certainly our content team, led by Carl Schmidt and everyone has a role in that. But the our video and photo content people that do a great job every day putting stuff together, editing things, getting it together. But what's unique about that video, and Coach Erickson actually mentioned that to me that night about how he was so pleased with it too, because it was unique in that it incorporated, as you said, all the different players talking about that player. Yes. And mostly about beyond softball. It was most about what kind of teammate they were, what their memories were. And so it was very touching, and I think it'll be have that much longer of a shelf life because those ladies will enjoy that forevermore and keep that kind of bookmarked on their various social sites to remember that by. But hey, like you said, whether someone's here with us for 1 year or 6 years, they're Bulls. We want them to be forever Bulls, and we try to put the best experience forward possible for them. And so it was nice to see them, and the one at softball under Ken's leadership is always so well organized. And I love the way the photos come out, and it was just a great day.
Well, there's a lot of great days to come at the end of the calendar year here, the school calendar year, that is. And anything else on your agenda? Do you have any retirement parties to go to? You're going to stick to green and gold these days. Graduations, I guess, right?
I do have a couple graduations to attend this weekend, which I'm excited about, and look forward to seeing our Bulls walk across that stage. So this great week, a lot of fun things happening, and can't wait to catch up on the next things on next week's edition of the Bulls Speed Ahead podcast. So, Derek, thank you very much, and go Bulls.